So to Perkei Mishnah Base 5-2, here we are going off topic. Since in the previous Mishnah we talked about unusual, and I guess I'll call them controversial, not lalacha, drashas of Rabbi Akiva, we have now some other drashas Rabbi Akiva made. The lach will not like be like him again, but we're going on that topic here, and this is talking here about halacha and tum and tahara. So the Mishnah starts out by saying, Bo vayom darsh Rabbi Akiva. On that day, Rabbi Akiva made the following drasha. Now, which day are we talking about? This is a reference to a story that happened in, as told in Maseches Brachos Daf Chav Ches, where Rabban Gamliel had been very difficult on Rabbi Yeshua a number of times, three different times, and essentially the Talmidim mutinied. They rebelled and deposed him as the Nasi. Ultimately, they chose to put Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as the replacement Nasi for a time until later on in the story Rabbi Yeshua and Rabban Gamliel do reconcile, and after that Rabban Gamliel's return to being the Nasi, and he shares the position to some degree with Elazar ben Azariah. In any case, while Rabban Gamliel had been the Nasi prior to his being deposed, so he had a strict policy, almost what we might call an elitist policy, where he only let people who are Tocho Kabaro, who are through and through, tzaddikim, they're the ones who are allowed to participate in the discussion of the Beis HaMidrash there, and they excluded other people who were still, on the way in life. So when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi, so he was a young man, he was 18 according to the Bavli, or 16 according to Yerushalmi, and he essentially opened the doors to whoever wanted to learn, and that day there was this incredible flourishing of Torah, creativity, as well as sort of a broadening of the base of the Masorah, in as much as people who, from other walks of life came and retold their experiences or their Masorah, their traditions. And there was a whole Maseches Edius devoted to what went on in that time, and there are other Gemaras and Mishnayos throughout Shas where they talk about Bo Bayom on that day referring to this time. It seems that, let's say, from Doros HaRishonim, for example, that although the expression Bo Bayom means on that day, like a particular one day, it seems that this was actually an extended period of time, much more than a single day, but it's like a single time period when they had this initial policy, and that facilitated this, this flourishing of Torah creativity. So here we're saying that Bo Bayom, on that day, Darsh Rabbi Akiva made the following drasha, his innovation. Now his innovation here of this drasha is technical, as I guess drushas always are, and it's referring to the way in which tuma is transferred. So just a super brief reminder. There are a number of different sources in the Torah of tuma, 11 by my count, original sources, starting positions, and those are avos tuma. There are more than 11 avos tuma, but they're, in any case, an av is a source of tuma, the parent, if you will, which can have children, which are like a one degree removed from the original source. So if an av, let's say a dead rat, conveys its tuma to a loaf of bread, so the loaf of bread would become a rishon l'tuma. If a dead rat would, say, transfer its tuma to a knife, the knife would become a rishon, and if the knife was used to cut the bread, then the bread would become a sheni, a second degree tuma. Tuma thing. Now, according to halacha, not according to our Mishnah, but lahalacha, we say that everyone agrees with this sentence, there are four categories of recipients of tuma: Adam, people, Jewish people, Kalim, utensils that are susceptible to tuma, Ochlin, food, and Mashkin, drink. Okay? So now, Adam and Kalim, people and utensils, only can receive tuma and become tame from an avatuma. Meaning if the dead rat touched the knife, which became a rishon, and that knife then touches a person or touches a spoon, both the person and the spoon remain tahor because the knife was not an av, it's just a rishon. Okay? In contrast, ochlin and mashkin, food and drink, can become a sheni. So if that rishon knife touches the cuts of the bread becomes a sheni. Okay? Now when it comes to chulin, non-consecrated foods, generic foods, so that's where it ends. At sheni. That's the halacha. Our Mishnah here is going to say that Rabbi Akiva held that chulin can become not only a sheni, but even a shlishi, a third degree removed. He'll have a drasha, a pasuk to teach that. The halach, however, is that normal foods cannot become a shlishi lituma, the third degree, just up the second is as far as they go. However, truma, which is more sanctified food, the food for the Kohen, like truma gadola or trumas meiser, as well as kadshim, sacrificial meat and menachos, can even become a revi, a fourth degree removed. Okay, but that's the halacha. But here, Rabbi Kiva is going to make an innovation that say, not only can food become a sheni, but even a shlishi. Now, the basis that food becomes a sheni l'tumah is not explicit in any pasuk anywhere. It's based on a kol v'chomer. Okay? And as we'll see later on, inside the Mishnah, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai was afraid that since it's only a kol v'chomer, not explicit anywhere, people will neglect to realize that a food stuff can become a sheni, and when it touches truma, they'll think the truma is still tahor. They won't make the truma pasul, even though truma, which touches the sheni, is pasul as a shlishi. Okay, he was concerned about that. Rabbi Akiva is going to make a drash that says, no, it can convey tuma, and in fact, not only can a chulin piece of bread become a sheni, it can even convey tuma to another chulin piece of cheese, whatever it is, to become a shlishi, even if it's not truma. That's Rabbi Akiva's drasha here, and the shita. Okay, that's the sort of outside. Inside the Mishnah says, Bova Yom Darash Rabbi Akiva. On that day, Rabbi Akiva made the following drasha. The Pasuk says, this is the Pasuk in Vayikra, Pasuk Perik Yod Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, 11:33. V'chol Kli Cheres, when it comes to any, oh, I should have said this, I'm sorry. We're talking now about earthenware utensils. So the Kli Cheres, like a flower pot or something. So, or teacup, for that matter. Made out of fired clay. So the usual way in which tuma transfers to utensils, like the knife I talked about before, is through direct contact, maga. Okay, but exception to that rule is earthenware vessels. Earthenware vessels, like a flower pot, it's not direct contact that conveys tuma. In fact, if a dead rat touches the outside of a flower pot, it stays tahor. It's the airspace, the toch, it's called in Hebrew, the toch, the airspace, within the earthenware utensil. This is unique again to just clay cheres to earthenware utensils. So if you have a flower pot and you dangle a dead rat inside the flower pot, although it doesn't touch the flower pot, the dead rat is the avatuma, and the flower pot becomes a rishon lituma, it becomes tummy. If there's something else in the airspace, let's say you dangle both a dead rat and a loaf of bread in the flower pot, so the dead rat is the av, that conveys tuma through the airspace of the flower pot to the flower pot, making the flower pot a rishon, and then the airspace of the flower pot, which is tummy now, is a rishon, will convey to the bread tuma, making the bread a sheni, again through the toch, through the airspace in the middle. Okay, that's peculiar to earthenware vessels, like a metal bowl. If you dangle a dead rat and a piece of bread inside the airspace, nothing would happen, no tuma would transfer. Okay, but here Rabbi Akiva is talking about making a drasha on the pasuk, which says v'chol kli cheres asher yipol mehem. If into any of a kli cheres they should fall, the they is referring to previous psukim, referring to now we're talking about, let's say, the dead rat, the source of tuma, the sheretz, el tocho, into the earthenware vessel's airspace, kol asher besocho yitma, whatever is inside the airspace shall become tame. Okay, now Rabbi Akiva says eino omer tame, but it doesn't say it becomes tame. It doesn't say that the bread inside the flower pot becomes tummy if there's a dead rat there. No, ella yitma. It says, with an extra yud there, it becomes tummy. And then extra yud, Rebbe's darshing, it doesn't need to be there, like the vav of the previous Mishnah. So he says, it's as if it says yitame, as if it says it conveys tuma, letame acherim, to convey tuma elsewhere. To, like, let's say, for meaning, limed, it teaches you, al kikar sheni shemitame esashlishi. That if you have a loaf of bread, which is in the same airspace as the dead rat within the flower pot becomes the rishon from the dead rat through the airspace. The airspace of the flower pot conveys tuma to the loaf of bread, making the loaf of bread into a sheni. And now, if you put the slice of cheese or the piece of meat or whatever it is on the bread, then that meat or cheese will become a shlishi, even though we're talking about chulin cheese and chulin meat, okay? That's Rabbi Akiva's drasha from the extra yud when it says yitma, when it didn't say the yud, could have managed out the yud there. Now, so that's his innovation, and that's his din, and that's that. Sort of the Mishnah, so to speak, is over, so to speak. But it continues on here, although the halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yehoshua says, I'm Rabbi Yehoshua, Mi yigale afar me'einecha Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, which means, oh, if only Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, if only you could have lived to see this day. Literally, yigale afar me'einecha means who can, like, you know, remove the dust from your eyes, but it's an idiom which refers to Tchias HaMeisim, okay, elsewhere in Shas. So the point is, if only Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you could sort of wake up from the dead and see this amazing day. Shehaisa Omer, because you used to say, you were afraid, asid dor acher, that you were afraid that in the future a subsequent generation would come litaher kikar shlishi, that would they would come and they would say, listen, if you have a loaf of bread which is a truma loaf of bread, and it touched a sheni, then you're afraid in the future generation they would say, listen, there's no such thing as a sheni lituma, there's no pasuk like that, and therefore the truma is not a shlish, the truma is tahor, and people eat it, and that's terrible. It's really puzzle. Not a valid truma, it's forbidden to be eaten as a shlishi. But you were afraid, since there's no explicit pasuk which says that foods become a sheni, people would end up eating puzzle truma. She'en lo mikra min ha-torah shu tameh, because there's no verse in the Torah which says that there's such a thing as a second, let alone a third. V'halo, but look what happened now, good news. Akiva talmidecha, your student Akiva, Mevilo mikra min ha-torah shu tameh. He's brought a pasuk that shows a drasha which says that indeed it is tameh, meaning not only is truma that's a shlishi tameh, but even chulin that's not truma can become a shlishi and become tameh. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, kol esher besocho yitma, because it says everything in that flower pot yitma, doesn't just say it becomes tameh, but yitma can even convey tuma further into something to being a shlishi. So that is Rabbi Yeshua's comment over here. Now, again, the halacha is not like this at all. Just as far as housekeeping goes, Rabbi Akiva is referred to as Talmidcha, the student, your student, of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. That's not precisely accurate. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai famously had five students. Two of those included Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua from the Mishnayos, who are prominently here. And those, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, were the Rebbeim, the teachers of Rabbi Akiva. So actually, Rabbi Akiva is like one generation removed, if you will, from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But either just to give kavod to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I'm sort of ascribing him to being like the Rebbe, so to speak, of Rabbi Akiva, he was spoken this way. Or perhaps since Rabbi Yeshua is actually Rabbi Akiva's student, Rabbi Yeshua is Rabbi Akiva's teacher, but if he would have said like, you know, your student's student, look what he did, that's sort of ascribing some kind of, you know, kavod to himself, which he didn't want to do. Whatever the case is, Rabbi Akiva wasn't actually directly a student of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he's one step removed. But he did bring a drasha, which would have, so to speak, alleviated the fears of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, if we accept the drasha. But again, the halacha doesn't follow this drasha whatsoever. The halacha is that sheni food can never convey tuma to chulin, only to truma as a shlishi.